darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. So much is going on in the country. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has finally let the world know what regressives really believe about America. It never really was great from the beginning. Folks, his words, not mine, providing clear bulletin board material for the RNC, and I would suggest that that comment is going to come back to hurt lots of regressive folks in the midterm elections. Again, stuff is happening all over the place. President Trump is revoking security clearances from people that they should have the security clearance revoked. I mean, craziness is going on. Many of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs. We have a full show today. Let me just say this from the outset. We are going to have multiple guests. I think this is a first in Hamilton Corner history, where we're going to have guests in each of the final two segments of the program today. So you do not want to miss those guests. But we will begin the program, as is our custom, by turning to God's Word. And to do that today, we're going to discuss Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. And I say very often that if we really want to get an understanding of what humanity was meant to be prior to the rebellion, and I refer to the sin in the garden as a rebellion because the fall kind of lessens the blow a little bit. It kind of gives an indication, I was just on a stroll down. I tripped over my own shoelace. Nah, folks, it wasn't a fall. It was a rebellion, a cataclysmic rebellion with cataclysmic consequences. Did I just say cataclysmic twice? Yes, I did. I certainly did. Well, looking at Genesis chapter 2, this is something I want to share with you, and it's going to tie into something that's happening in Tupelo, Mississippi right now. But here we go. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Here we go. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him, or fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, or Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made or fashioned or built into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. In this portion of scripture, we see God forming the foundation for all humankind, as well as the original institution that he ordained to be the exercisors, if you will, of his authority in the earth. The first institution created by God, before you ever get government, before you ever even get the institution of the church, before you ever get monarchies, before you ever get an order of priests, the first institution that God created is the family. A lot of people are familiar from Genesis chapter 1 with the dominion mandate, but not many people connect the fact that God's delegation of his authority to exercise dominion in his created order to mankind was given to a to people within a specific context. It was man plus woman with the capacity to bear offspring, which kind of gives you an indication of the centrality of the family to God's plan for the world. It also probably can give you an indication as to why family is being fought against so aggressively. Attacks on the identity of man and woman, maleness and femaleness. Attacks on the construct, the definition and understanding of marriage. All of these things are connected to attacks on the family, which is what we see happening now. And I made this argument before. People who would argue that gender is fluid and that it appears on a spectrum, but at the same time would want to pass laws that would foreclose people who may be struggling with the fluidity of their gender identity from being able to flow with their fluidity in the opposite direction than they wanted to flow. Y'all get what I'm saying? All of that is to confuse the family dynamics and the identity dynamics. And I believe that it was by God's divine providence that he has ordained for the Urban Family Communications Marriage, Family, and Life Conference to happen right now. The conference begins tomorrow in Tupelo, Mississippi. It will occur tomorrow and Saturday. It begins early tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. A lot of times conferences start on the weekends. They begin Friday evenings. This starts Friday morning, okay? And there's still time for you to come out. If you want to register, you can do so today by going to urbanfamilytalk.com, or you can show up. The conference will be hosted at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, on McCullough. You can get all of the information from urbanfamilytalk.com because I believe, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to dig into the scripture a little bit more in a second. Lots of people are praying for a revival to happen in our country. I really believe that a source of the Spirit of God being poured out in our country is within our families. I don't believe we need to look with a singularity of focus on the big institutions, the large systems. The fundamental building block of society is the family. The fundamental building block of the church is the family. If we can do family according to God's auspices, the other systems will be impacted by the correction that occurs within our families. If we get fathers shepherding their homes once again, if we get mothers serving in their families as God has ordained them to, and understanding the priestly function of the home, it will change the tide of our nation. And of course, I know there are different familial dynamics. I know every single person isn't married, but when you get to the majority of the people in our country, these things are the case. And if we can get a large swath of our society to understand how God has placed them in family and how family is to operate as the fundamental component of the church, I think we would see a sea shift in our nation. But let me dig into this a little more. I started at the bottom. No, I started at the top and keep going. First things first, when the Lord proclaims to Adam, and it's the Lord saying this, that it is not good for a man to be alone, that he has ordained for him a helper. There's a lot of people with this, the result of feminism and understanding the complementarity of mankind, that men and women are equally valuable before the Lord in terms of, in qualitative terms. But we are complementary in our makeup. God has made men and women to be different, and he did it intentionally. So there has been much ado about the objection to the fact that why would the Lord refer to me, you know, as helper? And to that, I've often said, man, that's amazing how society can develop the means to get people even to reject God's word. Isn't it amazing that the description that God gives for wives within the marital union as helpers is the same term that he gives to the one who's to lead us and guide us into all truth, the Holy Spirit of God? What is the Holy Spirit referred to as? The what? Helper. The helper. The Lord literally uses the exact terminology that he uses to describe the third person of the Trinity, which is also the first person of the Trinity mentioned in all of the Hebrew scripture. If you go to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Yahweh, Elohim is the term there, referring to the Godhead created the heavens and the earth. The first member of the Godhead mentioned in an individual capacity is the Spirit of God, for the Spirit brooded over the waters. That is the same term used to describe the function of a wife within a marriage. But we allow society to define terms for us and establish an expectation, and we find ourselves rejecting something that God has offered to us to be a blessing. Let me continue on. You next see in the next few verses that the Lord identifies the lack in Adam as a singular individual, identifies the fact that he needs a helper. And the Hebrew term there for helper literally means to build in that which is lacking. To build in that which is lacking. But then the Lord, after identifying this problem, he goes on and allows Adam to function as an individual. Some have posited, which I think this is accurate, that in his identifying the various animals and naming them, Adam is made aware even the more of his own lack. He sees male lion, female lion. Male elephant, female elephant. And he goes on down, including dinosaurs. That's a whole other story. And he realizes, wait a minute. I don't see none like me. I think that's intentional, folks. That's intentional. The Lord wanted Adam to be in full agreement with his proclamation that he needed a helper. Let me keep going. Man, these minutes run by. Somebody needs to stop this time. There's so much more I could say about this that I would love to say, but let me keep going. Then he goes on further in the first poem, or you want to say, you can imagine it like I do, put a beat to it, the first rap in the history of mankind, in verses 23, when it says, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This is Ish, for she comes from Ish. Literally, it's wordplay on the reality of Adam's identity and the reality that God has ordained for him to have one to come alongside, to build into him, to build up and build in that which is lacking. Then you have the, in my opinion, the definition of marriage in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, the prior band, and hold fast to his wife. You wonder why the male in the marital union is called a husband. It literally is a house band. The man is to loose himself from the band of his mother, his father and his mother, and he forms a new band with his wife. Which is why the Bible says, and he shall cleave, leave and cleave, shall cleave. The two shall become one to cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so often you hear people who would object to the biblical definition of marriage and say, well, Jesus never said anything about marriage. Why are you so concerned about marriage? And Jesus never talked about it. And that's a lie. That's a lie. You ain't got to lie, Craig. That's a lie. Jesus quotes from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 when he's discussing marriage in Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus is questioned, he first says, did you not know? Basically saying, you ain't no chief. Are you still ignorant of this? That God made them both male and female, quoting from Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. He made them both male and female. Then he quotes from Genesis chapter 2. And the two shall become one flesh. I think I have it on good authority that if the God-man, the creator incarnate, will quote from the same text as being authoritative concerning marriage, I think I'm on solid ground doing the same thing. So to say that Jesus never discussed this is a lie. So then others would say, well, Jesus never particularly discussed homosexuality. That is also a lie, because when he describes the affirmative reality of what marriage is, he is correspondingly foreclosing the potentiality of any alternatives. He doesn't have to go down the full line and say bestiality and say, you know, these things and go to each particular iteration, because he's already defined for you what the authentic is. When I show you what a dollar bill is, I don't need to tell you that, by the way, they have 25 different counterfeits, 27 counterfeits, 28 counterfeits, because I've conveyed to you the authentic. And the reality, folks, is that the attacks on marriage exist because God has ordained it as its primary institution, the family, that is.
It's time for parents to have the final word. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The Republican National Committee unanimously approved a resolution calling for the removal of obscenity exemptions. Currently, 43 states have loopholes that allow school employees to give inappropriate material to children that would put any other adult in jail. These loopholes lead to overly sexualized behaviors between teachers and students. Liberty Counsel has been researching and working strategically on this issue, and we are partnering with local citizens to get legislation introduced to close these dangerous loopholes. The RNC also voted to protect public school children by requiring parental approval for all sex ed classes. That means changing the standard to be opt-in instead of the meaningless traditional opt-out. We commend Virginia's Cynthia Dunbar for fighting for this issue. You can make a difference too. Learn more at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and click on Protect Kids.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the very first day in Israel, when we're staying in Jerusalem, we go to the Mount of Olives. And it's there at the Mount of Olives we look out over the old city of Jerusalem. It's a spectacular sight. You've seen it in pictures before, but it's another thing to actually be there as we walk down from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane and we pray there. It's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country visiting the Holy Land, the land of Jesus. If you want information on this March 14th through the 22nd tour, just call us and we'll send you a brochure. Call 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address and we'll mail you a brochure. Or if you want to simply go online at twholyland.com, everything's there, twholyland.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Catholic Church in Pennsylvania is reeling from a massive scandal involving priests sexually abusing children. The grand jury found at least 1,000 victims over the last 70 years. The source of this scandal goes back to the early 1960s when the church struggled to recruit priests because of the celibacy requirement. So the church began admitting homosexuals into their seminary since they had no interest in marriage. The results have been entirely predictable. There are two takeaways here. One, the link between homosexuality and pedophilia is now impossible to dismiss. And two, many of our Catholic friends are calling for the church to admit married men into the priesthood. They're right. Peter, the first pope, was married, so there is no reason priests today shouldn't be free to imitate his example.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And what I was trying to say in the first segment is that is why there's such an attack on marriage and family, because family, which requires marriage, is the primary institution that God ordained to disseminate, to convey, to serve as a conduit of his glory in the created universe. So, that's just a little bit of the type of information you can expect at the Urban Family Communications Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. So I'll leave it there. To get more, you got to come to the conference. But I'm excited to have in studio with me a fellow yokesman in the Lord, Eric Horner from Operation Tankful of Love, which is an initiative that American Family Radio is coming alongside Brother Eric with in order to bless those who protect and defend our freedom. So join me in welcoming Eric Horner to the Hamilton Corner.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for hanging around for this late hour.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
Because you got a lot of folks listening to you right now. And so I just wanted to have the opportunity to discuss this. So just to begin, what is Operation Tankful of Love?
Well, I describe it to people as just a way to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who defend our freedom. You know, they walk into that recruiter's office, raise their right hand, and they make a promise to each and every one of us that they're going to defend our freedom, even if it costs them their life, and that's a huge commitment. And so we just want to do what we can, not only to say thank you, but to shine the love of Christ to them in a very real and tangible way.
Okay. Now, you said sharing the love of Christ in a real and tangible way. What is that real and tangible way that God has led you to uniquely offer this particular a hands and feet of Jesus offering.
Well,
to these men and women
who if I had my way, if I had my way about it, they'd make a whole lot more money than they do.
Yes.
Just the gift of the free gas is a huge blessing to the military family. So many times throughout the day as we serve them, they say this makes a huge difference on what goes on our table for our family this week. And so, you know, that in that way, it's a blessing. It's the biggest blessing, I think, is the encouragement that they receive from just knowing that they're not forgotten about. You know, after 9/11 in 2001, everybody held them up as the American heroes that they are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with time, things fade. And yeah. Honestly, you know, after a certain number of tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, they just feel forgotten about.
Yeah.
And this is a way to lift them up and encourage them. And when they come through, we'll have 120 volunteers from churches all over. I say all around that area. We've got volunteers that they come from Houston, Texas, from Miami, Florida. I mean, all over America. They mm-hmm. come, they hear about it on the radio, and they come and help us serve. And once you do it one time, you got to come back.
Now, I know you've been talking about this for a while, and you know all about it, but there may be some listeners who are completely unfamiliar
sure.
with what you do with Operation Tank Full of Love. So what exactly is it
all right.
that you do?
What we do is we take over a truck stop. Mm-hmm. Of course, we live in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's the nearest military post to us. So we kind of consider them our home team. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see this break out all over America. But what we do is we raise funds for about 3 months. Year-round, but we really do some intense fundraising through the summer. Mm-hmm. And then we take a Saturday in September, and we take over a truck stop. They give us 12 gas pumps, and we'll have those 120 volunteers manning the pumps. And we'll serve every soldier that we can get through the line. We start at about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. We serve until dark. When the sun goes down, they make us quit because it becomes a traffic hazard. Mm-hmm. But we'll have soldiers lined up for a couple of miles down the road we're just right down the street from the front gate of Fort Campbell. Mm-hmm. And we'll serve them all day long. We'll serve about 1,800 soldiers. Wow. Is about as many as we can get through in a day's time. And it's just awesome to see prayer meeting break out on the parking lot. You know, mm-hmm. when they come through and they meet the volunteers, we try to never be heavy handed with anything, but we just say, hey, is there anything that you need prayer for? And 9 out of 10 of them, you know, we get things like, hey, I'm getting ready to deploy mm-hmm. and I'm worried about my family. Or mm-hmm. some of them are, hey, I just got back from a deployment and I'm trying to normalize again and get into, you know, how do you do that after you go over and see and do the things that they have to do and then come back in and just kind of turn that off, flip that switch and jump back into family life. It's a hard transition. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of prayer needs. And so it's really cool to see, you know, just like a wave over that truck stop parking lot, prayer meeting just breaks out.
That's amazing. Now,
awesome.
You mentioned, and this is something that is so true, where 9/11, there were the first responders and our American military men and women were celebrated for about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it kind of faded into obscurity. And when you have the current, you know, within the political climate, abolish ICE and do all these other things,
mm-hmm.
our military men and women have been basically turned into political footballs, basically.
Yes, they have.
And they, in some sectors, not all, not in the Hamilton Corner for sure, but in some sectors, they get a lot of scorn that they have no dog in the hunt for. Like, why is this coming my way?
Yeah.
How did the Lord move in your heart to want to serve this particular sect of Americans?
Well, you know, I worked for 17 years in the country music industry. Mm. And I was guitar player, backup singer for some of the country stars. And one in particular that I spent 10 years with was a guy by the name of Lee Greenwood. And he introduced me to the military audience. I mean, we went at Christmas. We did USO tours, DOD tours. And I developed an appreciation for those who serve through that, but I really learned about the depth of the sacrifice through my wife.
Mm.
My wife's former husband was one of the Marines killed in the Beirut bombing in 1983, October 23rd, 1983. That's the first big punch thrown in this war on terrorism that we continue to fight today. Mm. And so she's the one that really helped me understand just how deep the sacrifice is, not only by those who serve, but by their families. Mm. And so with all of that, we just have such a love, you know, and when we got into ministry, the Lord really put a burden on my heart for our country and for those who serve. And so the doors have been opened to us to go and minister to them in many ways. I've had the privilege of singing for about 300,000 of our newest as they've gone through basic training, you know, and give them a word of encouragement and love on them. But this was just some way that the Lord just kind of dropped in my lap to be able to do something kind of hands-on. didn't revolve around me, a crowd, you know, drawing a crowd or anything. It's never about me. But, you know, in a concert situation, you know, they're coming to see the singer. I didn't want anything like that. I want this just to be about the Lord and being his hands and feet to them. And so that's really what this whole deal is about. You know, it's just trying to reach out to them and love on them in the name of Jesus.
Now, if you don't mind sharing this with our listening audience, how did you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?
You know, I got it early in my life. I was raised in a family of believers, but I had a grandfather who was he was an electrician by trade, but he was a preacher by choice. And he worked in World War II. He worked in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, where they did the Manhattan Project. And I called him Papaw, and wherever he could get two or three that would listen, he would preach the gospel. And he had such a simple way of sharing God's plan of salvation that even a child could understand it. And myself, all my cousins growing up, we knew. I knew by the time I was 8 years old that Jesus was real, that he was who he said he was, and he was going to do what he said he's going to do. And so I made that decision third grader is where I was at that point in my life. And I knew that it was real, and I wanted him to be my Savior. So,
now I have a question. Now, how did you, as an 8 year old, you said that you knew Jesus was real? What was so convincing for you as a child? I mean, Papaw was sharing the gospel.
He shared the gospel every chance he get, and I try to actually mirror his approach with my grandchildren. But I tell people that my mother had a drug problem. Every time the church doors were open, she drugged me through them. I was just exposed to it so much as a kid, you know, I grew up in it, and I just knew in my heart of hearts that this wasn't just some fairy tale, that this was real. And I've never regretted once the decision to follow Christ. And I went through a time when I came to Nashville, Tennessee, and to chase all my dreams and do all of that stuff that, you know, so many do, that I most certainly lived a prodigal child story. And I walked away from the Lord for about 5 years in my life. And, I tell people, I played with some of the bigger country stars out there, and I tell people, if you'd walked up to me and asked me, in one of those concerts or one of those shows, did you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd say, yeah, I'd have saluted and said, yeah, I met him in the third grade. But if you'd have stood back and watched me, you'd have never believed it. And the Lord was very patient with me. And he worked through a whole lot of folks to draw me back unto himself.
I'm asking this conversation because what you have just described is the reality that many families are dealing with right now, having children growing up in a similar context and facing that whole notion of a prodigal child. What was it that drew your heart back to the Lord?
Well, have you ever wrestled with the Lord about anything? Most of us have. During my time in country music, the Lord just began to work. And now, the biggest thing he did was he gave me my wife, and she was a huge factor. And him, he worked through her in a huge way to bring me back to him. But he worked through a lot of people that maybe they'd come to me and they'd say something or something that I got to bear witness to that somebody did. You know, it was amazing all the things, that little pieces of the puzzle that just worked. And finally, it just clicked, and I thought, I was ashamed because just like that parable of the prodigal son, you know, the father gave the son, he wanted all his inheritance right then. And that's how I feel like my musical gifts were my inheritance. And I was out blowing them. I was out squandering them. And I did it in such a manner, just like the son described in that parable. I found myself at rock bottom. Funny thing though happens when you hit rock bottom is you begin to understand who the rock at the bottom really is. And boy, when I began to grasp that and I began to just say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. You're going to have to do that work in me. And he did. He really did. He reaffirmed everything that I knew was true. And I'd never felt a peace like that in my life than when he allowed me to come back.
Amen. So you literally lived the reality that one man plants, one waters, but it's God who brings the increase. And I'm sharing that because a lot of you who are listening are wondering, man, well, I see all of this darkness. How can I be an effective witness? And it's just like that. Sometimes we get caught up. I won't say sometimes, often we get caught up in kind of this celebrity mentality and apply it to the Christian life where we think that you have to have, you know, this slick, you know, presentation. You got to have the 15-piece band, and you got to have the platform that levitates out of the ground to be ineffective. But literally, it is in the trenches, being a faithful witness, letting your speech and feet match and opening your mouth as God gives the opportunity. Now, here you stand serving our military men and women through Operation Tank Full of Love. You mentioned earlier that you have miles of soldiers where there's a new goal this year to serve soldiers. What how many soldiers are you trying to reach this year with Operation Tank Full of Love?
Well, it would. We may have to turn it into a two-day event. It will, depending on, you know, God always supplies the money for this through His people.
Yes.
And, you know, depending on, that all is the factor that depends on how many we can serve. But if we get enough in, hey, I'll turn it into a two-day event right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from when we start sun up to sundown, about 1,800 is as many as we can get through. But I have no problems with extending.
So where can the listeners go, if you have the information or if you want me to share it, to support the Ministry of Operation Tank Full of Love, to provide resources? So let's build this thing out to make it a two-day event.
Sure, that would be great. There's two or three places you can go. You can go to tankfulloflove.com. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the word operation, just tankfulloflove.com. You can go to afr.net.
Yes.
As our partner in that. You can. A lot of folks will just send checks or mm-hmm. or things in through the internet, you know, through the websites. That's doable. Or we have a mailing address on the website if they want to, you know, support that way and send it through the mail.
So I just want to reiterate for those who are listening, you can go to afr.net to give. You can also go to tankfulloflove.com mm-hmm. to give.
And we have an 800 number.
And there's an 800 number. Yes. That number to call is 877-968-3742. The number again is 877-968-3742. You can call that number and donate right there on the phone to come alongside these military service members, and where Eric and his team will be there to fill up gas tanks for our soldiers, but also to be a practical witness for those who will ask questions, those who have prayer requests. This is a great opportunity to minister to an all too often neglected segment of our society, to where we appreciate the liberties that we enjoy, but sometimes it's very easy to forget that the freedoms we enjoy are secured by someone.
Yes, yes. And I forgot to tell you that every soldier that comes through receives a gift bag, and the gospel is presented in that gift bag in two or more ways. Mm. And so they're going to get it. They're going to get the gospel one way or another. And it's just, I really want to invite everybody to listen to just take part. I know God will bless you for it, and it's just a great way to be His hands and feet to those who take care of your freedom.
Amen. Thank you so much, Eric, for
bless
joining
you.
Me. I
Thank
appreciate you coming to
Thank
the program.
You for having me.
Folks, I want to reiterate, afr.net is where you want to go to give to support this. You can go to tankfulloflove.com. This is a great, great opportunity with a unique and creative way to minister to our soldiers, to where we will minister to them practically by filling up their gas tanks, as well as spiritually through the gift bag, as well as the people that are on the grounds to make contact with them. Tank Full of Love. Eric Horner, thank you so much, my
thank
brother.
You.
All righty. Well, you're listening to the program, and I don't know about you. And this is a day that many people across the nation are mourning and lamenting the death of Aretha Franklin, who died at 76 years old after struggling with pancreatic cancer. And this is one of those times, you know, the Bible in Ecclesiastes says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to a party because the living will take it to heart. Can you think of anything that's more important than giving people the opportunity to consider where they spend eternity? I can't. All of these isms and schisms and beatdowns with rhythm that we deal with in our society, all of that really pales in comparison to the consideration of where we will spend eternity. This is a practical ministry. The Lord calls His church the body of Christ for a reason. There are people who are the front people in various ministerial endeavors, people that are the contact people. But just like in our bodies, we have organs and vessels and arteries that are behind the scenes supplying the life-giving force, nutrients, resources, however you want to describe it, to the front lines. Operation Tank Full of Love is a great opportunity for you to do that in a practical way. So it's a one-day event right now. Their goal is to reach 2,500 soldiers. So in order to do that, they would have to probably extend the event to a two-day event. Would you consider being a part of the ministry of Operation Tank Full of Love? It's worthy, worthy, worthy cause, and I invite you to participate in it. Now, I told you this is going to be a day where we have guests in two out of the three segments. When we come back from the break, we're going to have my brother and sister. I won't spoil it too far, but I'll tell you this much. If you have gifts, the best thing you can do with those gifts is offer them to the King. Remember, we were saved not to become bench warmers, but the Lord has saved us and filled us with His Spirit, not merely for consumption, but for function. My next guests are two examples of what happens when you take who you are and what you have and put them in the hands of the Lord, and you'll be amazed what he does with you. You don't want to miss my next guest on the other side of the break, listening to Hamilton.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered, and now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 855-PSALM-23 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is not what you would call a proud American.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Well, the governor later walked back his remarks, but there's no denying what he said. It's really no surprise the governor is repulsed by the land of the free and the home of the brave. President Obama expressed similar sentiments during his years in the White House, promising to fundamentally change America. Senator Bernie Sanders described our nation as fundamentally immoral, savagely wrong. That's what Senator Cory Booker said. Senator Elizabeth Warren called us flat-out racist, a nation that gave birth to the notion of the free man, of unalienable rights, a nation that liberated Europe and defeated the Nazis, a nation that rose up from the ruins of 9/11 to crush the Islamic radicals, an exceptional nation that offends backslapping gasbag politicians like Andrew Cuomo. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Wow. And then the next thing you know, the first day of college rolled around. And I can remember seeing William and Tommy, and I'm like, oh, snap. What's up, William? What's up, Tommy? And they was like,
Steven, in public, bro? No, bro. Go Obama. Bro, I got to go to class.
Oh, really? It's like that. Okay. So anyway, I made friends of my own that year, and without realizing it, I began to change. It really hit me one day in between classes. I went to get some lunch, and I remember seeing William and Tommy, and they were like, oh, hey, what's up, Steven? Come eat with us. And I was like, yo, how you know my name, son? Hey, man, in public? Really? Really? Listen, yo, look, after school, I come by the crib, we watch Saved by the Bell, 90210, whatever. But in public?
No,
I'm coming. Let me deal with you. Keep my name out your mouth, son. Gotta go to class, bro. I'm gonna call you. Okay, so what changed from elementary? See, somewhere in our peer-pressured circles, culture began to tell them that they were white and that I was black. And we began to judge one another by the color of our skin instead of the content of our character.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And that was just a snippet of the offerings for my next guest, none other than Mr. and Mrs. Lewis. Stephen and Keisha Lewis, who are, I could say, a host of things. And I'm going to dig into their testimony just a little bit, how God had them on a trajectory in the realm of acting and playing in films and, you know, hobnobbing with the stars. And in the process of doing that, the Lord just literally crashes in, redirects them to a degree. And to where now they're engaged in ministry and multiple fronts. Thank you so much for joining me today, Steve and Keisha.
Oh, man. You have no idea what it means to be here, so thank you.
And
thank
I'll you. Just say it. Some of you are watching on the live stream, either on the Hamilton Corners YouTube channel or on the Facebook live stream, and you'll see Keisha. I'm excited because they are expecting their first child.
Come on.
And that is worthy of celebration. Ooh. I know Jason is out. He and his wife, Cheryl, had their first child. Yeah. And now you guys are having your first child.
That's
it's absolutely fantastic.
Hey, so, they're having a girl. We're having a boy. So prearranged marriage, right? Make it happen.
I love it. So I'm going to start this. And I'll let however you guys want to jump in. Mm-hmm. I met you guys both as those who were pursuing careers as thespians. As an actor and an actress.
Yeah, like I said, you might want to define it in this day.
Oh,
time,
yeah. Well, that is true. That is true. Thespians. Now there's a TH in there. All right? TH. Thes.
There we go.
Actors and actresses.
Oh, yeah.
How has God used your, let me say it this way. How did the Lord invade your space as you're pursuing that particular trajectory to move you to use your gifts for his glory?
Wow. Well, I can speak for myself. I guess we have two different stories.
Yeah.
And this was actually before we got married. But, man, I was on a very promising route in the secular film acting arena. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had a recurring role on an HBO series. Won't say the name of it because I don't want anybody to go look it up. I'm ashamed of all that stuff now. It was moving so fast for me that I began to make celebrity friends, and those celebrity friends were introducing me to other celebrity friends. And you get to a point in the industry to where you hear about it, but you don't realize it till it happens to you, that when people start to see that you have influence, I'm not going to say this. When the devil starts to see that you have influence, he wants that influence to be on his side. So he will literally approach you with a Jesus on the taking up on the high mountain type of scenario, where he told Jesus, you know, he said, look at all these kingdoms of the world. They could be yours if you would just bow down and worship me. So in so many words and in so many ways, that was the situation that happened to me, brought to me through a very renowned director. And I had to make a decision, man. And it was so clear and so heavy on my heart. And it had never been so clear and so heavy in my life until that moment of knowing, man, in this moment, I have the choice to literally receive and say, hey, I'll take that devil and be promised all of these things, the fortune, the fame, all of that type of stuff at the cost of my soul. Mm. Or I could trust my father, who owns all of it anyway, and let him show me what he has purposed for my life, and the blessings that he has in store for me that are beyond temporal, that are eternal. So that was kind of my situation. And then, you know, running across the scripture about each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And I had never looked at my art and my career as a one of the various forms of God's grace, which we could use our gifts to serve, in a nutshell.
That's powerful. Keisha?
For me, I was at LSU, graduated from grad school with an MFA, and I was headed to LA because I just knew that that's where I needed to be, because I wanted to break into the Hollywood scene. And so I moved out there thinking I'm going out there for one thing, and met some amazing men and women of God, couples who were submitted to the Lord, started going to this Bible study every Friday night. And I was just taken aback. I was inspired, and I was just so, and God got a hold of me. I fell in love with Jesus, and the conviction started setting in. Before, I would have conviction, but I would ignore it. You know, or I'd have like, you know, little unctions or whatever you want to say. I would ignore it, and I'd say, well, if I can go out and drink on Saturday, then I can go to church on Sunday. You know, that was my thinking, which was very warped. But then when I got there, all that changed. My desires changed, and God became my first love and the one I wanted to please.
Amen. Now, you guys are now involved in, and you've started a ministry, which I shared a little bit of here, but it's called Peculiar People, where you use your artistic gifting and you even add a little comedy, a little levity to the conversation to really communicate power-packed, hard-hitting messages, but you put them in such a palatable form that it's easily consumable to the public.
Thank you.
Tell the listeners a little bit about that. First, starting with the name, Peculiar People. Why choose that?
Well, 1 Peter 2:9. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. The New King James Version says a peculiar people, which is where we get our name from. Other versions you may see God's special people, God's chosen people. But anywhere it goes, it has to do with identity, right? Once my wife and I understood the identity that not only God was calling us to, but that God had already taken care of, that God had already established through what he did with Jesus on the cross, and he's calling us to walk in that identity, it changed everything. I mean, we felt like we were born again. And so we wanted to basically use that name to project that message and show people what that looks like to be to embrace being God's special people or God's peculiar people in light of what Christ has done for us. You know, it's no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Yeah.
Now, and I'll kick this over to you, Keisha. There are many people who are listening, and some of them, and there's been this tension historically between those who are committed to Christ and those who are gifted in the various artistic forms, and there being a perception that there's no room for artistry and creativity within the family of God. How has God used you and, first of all, impressed upon you that that's not the case, and secondarily, used you to allowed you to operate in your particular gifting areas and still provide the ministry that you do through Peculiar People?
Let me make sure I'm answering this question right, or answering the way that, you know, answering the question. But first, God gives us all of that. He gives us our gifts. He has made us who we are, our personalities. You know, we are born into the families we're born into and for, you know, for a purpose. We're born and at the time we're born for a purpose, you know, for his purpose. And so once we connect with him, he wants to take us, you know, out of that whole worldly commitment and commit to him the same thing, you know, our same personality, the same fire to him. So there's no separation of, you know, I'm an actor and I love God. No, I'm an actor. It's not separate. It's not, I can only do one thing or the other. You know, that's intertwined.
That's perfectly right. And I'll kick it over to Steve, too. Yeah. I see you chomping at the bit.
Oh, yeah. I am chomping.
Okay.
I am chomping. No, I guess what I wanted to say, a lot of people don't know, and you probably don't want me to say this, but a lot of people don't know that Abraham Hamilton, who we're sitting here next to, actually discipled us, both of us. My wife and I.
Yes.
And so, not to toot your horn, but here's the thing that is so important to say, because at the time that you were discipling me, especially me in particular, Paul says, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. I did that. I purposely chose, and you know this, to submit myself under your authority, under your training, under your teaching, everything. And at some point in that, without realizing this, and we had this conversation, I found myself becoming like you and I wanted to be like you, you know, in that, and not to say that you are this, but what I loved about you, there was a side of you that is very militant when it's time to be militant. And in that, I found myself being very militant and forgetting your comedic side and all those type of things. It took another brother to come to me who actually saw what I used to do when I was, you know, a little bit more worldly and secular and wasn't as far along as I was in the Lord. He saw those videos and the comedy of it. And he said, man, and I was so ashamed. I was like, man, I'm sorry that you saw that. He was like, man, he said, no, brother, the body of Christ needs this. Mm-hmm. He was like, we need this. And I had never thought about that. Mm-hmm. You know, God created, you know, laughter, and he wanted us to enjoy these. I had never thought about that. And so when he did that, and I remember having a conversation with you, Abe, and I said, man, Abe, I said, I realized something. I said, I'm not you. It was like a revelation, you know. It really was a revelation. And so then I spent time with the Lord, and I said, Lord, how do you want to use my personality and for your glory and to advance your kingdom? And from there, mm-hmm. Peculiar People was just, it was.
Man, that's such a good point, because sometimes in the discipleship process, mm-hmm. we think that we're making disciples of us.
Right.
No, God doesn't want clones of other individuals or other human beings. Mm-hmm. We are made disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. So what the Lord desires is for Christ following from the various individuals that he made, mm-hmm. just like the Lord creates the overarching category of flowers, but you have daffodils and you have calla lilies, right. and you have roses, right. and you have dandelions, you have all of these things. The Lord doesn't want us to disciple the individuality out of
right.
people, right. you know, and it's something that can happen unintentionally if we're not aware of that. So you bringing that out is a good point, I think, for the listeners to pick up on, because the goal is not to take out of a person what God has put in them, mm-hmm. but for them to be who God has made them to be, but just submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
That's critically important. So now, and people ask, what are their names? Is it Stephen Lewis and Keisha Lewis? Where can the listeners find the various offerings from Peculiar People?
YouTube page, I Am Peculiar People. All separate words, I Am Peculiar People is the YouTube page. We have a website. We have not launched it or publicized it or published it yet because it's still under construction. But you'll be able to check that out soon. That'll be iampeculiarpeople.com. And if you have any emails or you want to contact us in any way, it's iampeculiarpeople@yahoo.com.
iampeculiarpeople@yahoo.com. And I'll tell you that as the website is further developed, I will share links to that on all of my social media platforms and other areas because I think it's critically important, again, to utilize who God has made us and who we are to his glory.
Amen.
Yes.
To his glory.
Amen.
There's so much that we could say, but we're running out of time. Now, so let me ask this question just to wrap this up. What would you say to a young person who may be particularly gifted in the ways that you all are gifted, but they want to use their gifts but don't see a way how to pursue that? Of course, the secular route is clear,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
how can they use their gifts if they are Christians?
You want to answer that, or you want me? You.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. Real quick. All I would say is that don't ever forget that our Father is the Creator. Mm-hmm. So all creativity flows from Him. If we could tap into the source, which is God Himself through Jesus Christ, what. Father, if their son would ask him for a fish, would give him a snake, or ask him for some bread, would give him a stone. Mm-hmm. God says, anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Peculiar People. I Am Peculiar People. Go and find the Peculiar People channel on the YouTube page. The website is coming forth. Thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you.
Thank you.
The program.
Yes.
Love you, man.
You never know what you're going to get when you come into the Hamilton Corner. We had all kinds of salt. We had sugars and spice and everything.
Come on.
Nice in the Hamilton Corner. Thank you so much for joining the program. Tune in to tomorrow's program. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to be a doozy. And make sure you go to the Urban Family Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. It's kicking off tomorrow. Be there or you are a square.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.